This is part 12 or chapter 12 from the book UFO Contact to Planet Akart, Visit to a Farm, part 12. Akork returned, speaking high with his wife. However, there was nothing to dispute. Finally, he came up to me, saying, "Come with me, because we have to change your clothes, and later we shall travel a good part of Akart. Then I want to show you the veritable marvels that we have here." I followed him to the room, and he indicated footwear and clothes, and then went out. As I changed the clothes, I thought of his words, "Veritable marvels?" But how could there be things more marvelous than those I had already seen here? "It is not possible," I exclaimed. "To be better, they could only be divine." Despite the fact that I did not much doubt this, nor that they were governed directly by God, I changed the clothes, which were of the same design as before. Only this time the fabric was different. I opened the door and went out. Akork awaited me in the room together there with his wife and son. I stood comfortably in those soft sandals. "Are you ready?" he asked. "Yes, sir," I responded. "I have already advised my wife that we will return a little before the fifth meal." He picked up a flat package, patted his wife and son on the shoulder with one hand, and we went out. The wife and son, smiling, assisted to us for our departure. After we had embarked, Akork performed the same maneuvers as when we left before. Upon reaching 400 meters or so above the buildings, we flew a straight line at a velocity like I had never seen before. I tried to see the city, but there was nothing. I was unable to see it. We flew for a few minutes, then he slowed the velocity and began making a semicircle in plain air. Frightened, I asked him, "What happened?" "Nothing, I just wanted to show you our farms." "But are we not above the city?" "No, we have already left it far behind." "But that is not possible." "Yes, it is," he replied. I looked down through the glass or whatever that was. I only knew that one of the canopy was of transparent material, as I explained before. At first, I did not understand what I saw. "What is that?" "Those are our farms. They look like channels or enormous steps. They are walls curved so that to that level," he answered. Then he lowered the machine to an altitude of some 40 meters above the farm, and then flew a turn around the mountain. It was then that I understood the significance of what seemed to me to be channels or steps. It was a fabulous thing. It was their system of farming. It must have cost centuries of labor. No, we were obliged to construct this system in a few years. Why? Well, As I told you, for years we have in the grip of a problem of overpopulation. Automatically, for the lack of space for all to live, then we had to abandon the system of planting in ploughed ground because it produces very little, due mostly to erosion and for the better profitability of the terrains, we resorted to this technique. See that mountain? He showed me one some distance ahead. Can't you see there the stepped terraces? Yes, the same. Good. It's all like that. Then he showed me some more closer to us. What do you have planted on those farms? Actually nothing. The product was just harvested. Now they are preparing the ground for a new planting. What was the product that was harvested and what are they going to plant now? It is a root similar to the potato which is planted there on earth. But how do you, sir, know that product there? Smiling, he responded, we know almost all of your cereals there. I continued, can we descend to see those farms from closer? Yes, let's go. He engaged one of the levers and we descended right down vertically. It gave me a chill in the stomach since I thought we would strike the ground with full force. Instead of this, we parked serenely. He turned off the machine and we disembarked. I stood on the ground and felt overwhelmed with the size there. It went to the lower edge of the plain that surrounded the mountain. We were in the middle of this. Then I remembered that it was what it was and I said, fantastic. To give you an idea, I will tell you, or better, explain more or less. The fields were all good and level. Whatever an elevation began, we made a wall or dike. The higher of this wall varied. The height of this wall varied with the decline of the ground level. Thus above another, until the crest of the elevation for the mountain. The distance between one and the next also varied from 20 to 100 meters, at times more. The part from the top of the first wall to the foot of the second was very level, following the curve of that level around the mountain, and thus forming a stair with steps 20 to 100 meters wide. I saw some kind or another of a house. What attracted my attention to these is that they were so beautiful as those of the cities. Though almost all practically had three walls, one was always against the rocks. I wondered, what people? They always take the worst places for buildings. But a little later I saw the reason for their doing this, for which Akork had already explained. Thus I asked, why do they select those rocky places instead of levels for their houses? Well, at times it was not like that, but the lack of ground for the cultivation of cereals obliges us to remove the house from fertile ground and reconstruct them in broken and rocky places? How many years ago did you begin to put this system in practice? On a certain Akkadian continent, the most populous already a century, a quarter century then ago, more or less, they saw themselves obliged to go over to this system. Thus it was that they were restricted. The others were facing the same. How are the continents divided here? With this question of mine, Akkork smiled like a feather when his curious son asked, "Father, why does a rooster crow and not talk?" "Now then, by seas. But do you also have seas here?" "Logically, and tomorrow I will take you to see one." "Why is it that I can see nobody working in all this waste extent that one can see from here?" "As you can see, these farms are waiting to be planted. But if you want to see, let us go ahead some 20 kilometers more, where there are hundreds of men and machines working." Then we went forward another 20 kilometers, and it was as he said. There were hundreds of men with several dozens of machines to prepare the soil. Akkork brought the machine to rest near a house excavated into the mountain. We disembarked and went to where a man waited. Akkork showed him a paper and they spoke a little. The man shook his head rapidly and I figured that Akkork was asking permission to show me the farm. "Come," said Akkork, making a sign, and I followed. On passing the man, I thought he was going to stop me. He looked so hard. Certainly, Akkork had told him who I was. The two of us went out, following one of the curves that surrounded the hill. After proceeding some 500 meters, we stopped. On the first and the second curve below us were working those I have mentioned. Upon seeing those machines good and close, I almost fell on my back, because the resemblance of these machines with those tractors of earth was incredible. Only these did not roar, making scarcely a soft hum like an electric motor, and those plogs that overturned the soil, instead of following behind, came along one side, engaged to an object in the form of a helice, where I saw perfectly that the blades were of steel with spikes. To give you a more exact idea, I would have to sketch it, but I must tell you that of drawing I know nothing. How are those machines powered and why is there no roar? They do not roar because they are powered by solar energy, the same as drives the ships in which you have been traveling. As I would like to be brief in my narrative, I shall not prolong it with details of what I discussed there with Akkork and what he thought with respect to the development of solar energy by us terrestrials after having observed for a long time the super technology of those super intelligent people there. Then Akkork said, "Well, we must go because we have to proceed 2,000 kilometers to where we shall try to make the next meal." I looked at him in astonishment and thought, is this man crazy or what? To speak of 2,000 kilometers in a little less than an hour, is that in that bubble of steel? But how are we going to go? Just like we got here. Okay. I still half-doubted asked, but how many hours do we lack until the third meal? 1/10 of a half, which is approximately 79 minutes. That is not possible, I responded. You shall see whether it is possible or not, he answered. We went back to the house. There the man still looked at me in fascination. O'Cork thanked him and told him goodbye, and we embarked into the machine. We ascended straight to a certain altitude and proceeded forward, more or less, to the same route as before. After going some 20 kilometers, he slowed and hovered in midair, and as we were still covered with only the transparent canopy, I could see all below, and it was then that I saw something that left me perplexed, so much that I thought that I had terminated my nightmare and had returned to earth. O'Cork showed me a flock which looked to me like cattle grazing peacefully on one of the farms. Is that a herd of cattle? I asked. Well, it could be called that, because they are very similar to doves of earth, however a little different, as you can see. He lowered the ship to some 10 meters above them, and I thought they would leave running from our approach, but no, they continued grazing peacefully. From there I was able to well see that they were similar to our buffalo, however, they had no pair of horns, but had only one, and it was more than a half meter long. Their size was double or more than of any buffalo known to me until then. After observing them for a moment, we departed from there. Next in the book comes a drawing of the farming terraces, and the text to that drawing is, the great communal farmhouses made of the same resplendent metal material as the city houses were always constructed on the steepest, least usable part of the hillside, the least likely part to make into the great terraces fields, and they were built with one side deeply recessed into the steep rocky facing of the mountain. Every inch of usable space was covered to the farm terraces, a result of their extremely high population density, exceeding 20 billion for a planet about the size of Earth. Then, next in the book, then I asked, for what purpose do you raise those animals? Answer, for many, for example, their flesh is very delicious, and besides that, they possess many utilities. From them it is made the greater part of the fabrics which we use here, and also the internal upholstering of our apartment room. Do the females produce milk like the cows of earth? Yes, they produce some, but it is not used for food. Do you raise those animals on a large scale? Yes, however, those that we saw and others that exist around here and nearby have been brought there only after the harvest to fatten them. Where are the caretakers? In the colder zones, where there is grass in great abundance, much appreciated by those, and later, as I said, they are transported there and are left on the farms after the harvest of the cereals until the time to be newly prepared for planting. They are then killed. Finishing with this conversation, a cork brought up to the other canopy, and then we were left with vision only to the front. I leaned over a little in his direction to see if he could better see the squared glass instrument in front of him. It was divided into three parts. One showed what was behind, the other two to the left and to the right. I looked toward him, smiling, and said, "Now I understand why you do not collide when you make maneuvers in a tight places. Yes, here you can see to all sides." He showed me one other which I had not noticed before, and he pressed on the bottom there. "This is to see what we have below, then we want to when we want to descend." I didn't see anything at the time due to the speed. We were also very high. While we were talking, little noticed before, but upon looking outside I suddenly felt bad due to the velocity I thought. It seemed to me that a wind was coming from some place, and I felt my stomach pushed to my back. I began to breathe rapidly. Then he saw my state and asked, "Are you feeling bad?" At that altitude, I had lost my voice. I could barely nod yes with my head, but it was not necessary to say, for my appearance said all. Contrary to me, he seemed to be as if he were walking on firm ground. Then he reduced the velocity and said, "Seems that you have never flown by air on earth?" I responded defensively, "Not only have I not flown, but I have seen very few up close." It reminded me of the ship that had brought me from Earth to a cart, which, according to him, made 500 kilometers per second. Why didn't I die then? How many kilometers is this machine making per hour? It is making up to 10,000 kilometers per hour. Only? But then why didn't I get sick on the ship in which you transported me from Earth to here, when, according to you, sir, it went many times more than this? Well, this is different. To this we have to break the resistance of the atmosphere and at the same time supply our lungs with the same air. A step which was not a problem with the other, first, for being much bigger, and second, because in space there is not any resistance and it produces the air oxygen it needs. It produces sufficient for the crew independent of the exterior. Now here inside, it will also reduce its velocity a little and thus will not feel the impact of the atmosphere as much as we pass through it, a step to which you are not accustomed and feel bad. Next chapter then is 13, I think we continue. We have reached 24 minutes, but I think we take one more chapter, which is 13, the city of Serana. I already felt much better, controlling the faintness with more facility. I found that a cork had reduced the velocity to some 50%. percent since I could see the mountains approaching and passing, and before us in the distance were mountains and valleys. Suddenly there commenced to appear an infinity of mountains. I've never seen the Cordilleras of the Andes in Chile, and not by illustration. But to give a better idea, I would say that these were very similar. As we came closer to them, I was completely overcome, for now, instead of mountains, it was a most beautiful city. But how is this city here? Clearly, and the major industrial center of Akkad. When we began to fly over the city, I could well see that in reality it was entirely constructed on top of a mountainous region. Why did they select a region like this to build such a city, I asked. Well, for two reasons, as you can imagine. Yes, more or less. As you see, there is completely impossible to make a farm. However, it is possible to construct a city, as you can see, well see. Yes, you have reason. The other motive is that here exists the biggest mines of solar steel in all Akkad. This being the case, nothing is more logical than to construct here the biggest factories of solar ships, motors and weapons. Are you saying that it is here where the ship that brought me from Earth was constructed? I cannot guarantee that this is where that one was built, because we have several places in all of Akkad. Will it be possible to show me one close up? Yes, as it was with this end in mind that we come to this place. But now let us descend to eat the meal. Do you know this city well? I think I do, he said, smiling. We began to fly around it. It seemed to me that he was looking for a place he knew. Meanwhile, as we made turns over the city, I could well see that miracle of a superpopulated place. One city which, when we flew over its center, its ends were lost from sight, and it was built completely on top of rocky mountains. There were hills like that sugar loaf in Rio, which seems from a certain distance, seemed more like one building, only in place of various apartments built up. There were excavated in it, throughout its height, from bottom to top. I thought, such a thing could only be conceived among a people like this, which have no heart to make war. For the extermination of half their brothers, and thus they are able to live more crowded than certain lunatics here on earth could imagine. They integrally respect the fifth commandment of the law of God, do not kill, to benefit themselves from death of another. To all creatures to which God gave life, he also gave space and means to live, enough to sustain them. After having made several turns above the city, a cork stopped the machine in midair and then commenced to descend carefully until we landed on top of a great building on the crest of a mountain, where there were a number of other ships parked. We got out of the ship and went down an elevator, descending to the ground floor. In the descent, I mentally noted that there were 15 floors. The elevator stopped at a short, narrow corridor. We passed through it and into a waste saloon, which I later saw was something like a hotel, by the tables with the service arranged. There were a great number of people there in that room, some working and others certainly waiting seats for the meal. A number of them looked at our entrance, or better, at a cork, who certainly was known to some of them. All of those greeted him happily, however, none greeted me. A cork spoke happily with them, and, as I understood, none of what they were saying, I limited myself to just looking at their gestures. Suddenly a cork turned toward my direction and made a sign, perhaps telling them whom I was. Then all of them looked toward me with amazement on their faces, and one of them detached himself from the group, looking toward me to greet me. I had already reached out to give me my hand, when, in a moment, I remembered their own system. He looked at me and put one hand on my shoulder. I bent forward in return. Following that, he turned toward the group, speaking with the cork, and continued that conversation for a few moments. Finally, they began to disperse, each to his place. Then, at the invitation of a cork, I sat down, followed by him, at the table. It was there that I was greeted by one who accompanied us to the table, who, by his manner, I judged to be the manager of the place. A cork took out the paper and showed it to him. I took a look at the paper. It was the same as he had showed to the man at the farm. After having read it, the other gave it back. A cork fellow folded the paper and put it back in the flat case. The man withdrew, leaving him, and I seated at the table, in front of the curious gaze of all that were in the saloon. He said, "You must be famous." I don't know more than when it is time to eat, as I walk so amazed, then I'm still lost in time. He laughed and balanced his big shoulders. Since this is the third meal, it is exactly as if it were midday on earth. "Yes, you have explained this to me before, but it never entered my head to have so much meals during the day. It still seems like a play." "No doubt it does seem strange, since I know the same happens to me when we go to Earth." At that point, the meal arrived. I expected that the cork would offer a prayer as always, and waited for him. But as he commenced to serve himself, I asked, "How come nobody nor you, sir, offered a prayer?" "That is done only in our homes." "But why?" "Okay, just imagine making a prayer to the Creator in a noise like this. Here, each one does it intimately, because together it would be impossible." "Well, that is true." After this, we did not speak anymore until the end of the meal. Finishing that, he said, "Well, let us go, because there is still much travel today." "But are we not coming back here?" "No, I have today to show you the most possible of what we have here on our cart. However, if you prefer not to see any more, I will understand. We can return, so I can communicate your resolution to the Son of the Sun." Is there anything bad if I do not want to see any more nor hear? Well, I am not able to answer, but remember how the Son of the Sun was content when you responded that it would be good to know some more about the card. But I did not say that I didn't want to see any more. I scarcely wondered if we were going to return here. That is good. Then let us go. I have not understood well. Exactly, I responded. We left by the same route as we came until we reached the ship on the terrace, embarked in it, and in an instant we were at some 40 to 50 kilometers from there, but still within the city. I admired that still here the city was of the same type, always on top of the rocks and mountains. Suddenly a cork showed me an elevation and said, "That is where we are going." Then we have come to chapter or part 14, which will be on another audio file.